Well, thank you all for being here. Thank you for coming and trust that today will be a day of worship and honoring the Lord and challenging our hearts, inspiring our hearts, comforting our hearts. Each one of us are here with different needs and different requests, different perspectives on life. And so we pray that today God would just knit our hearts together in worshiping and honoring Him. You're going to have to pray for me, though, this morning. I'm a bit depressed. My wife, I told her I was looking for an opening and closing illustration. And so she said, I'm going to keep my mouth shut for fear I'll become the illustration. She didn't keep her promise. I got up this morning and I may have told you before, I hate oatmeal, and whenever she makes me an egg sandwich in the morning, I know that I've been a good boy, that somehow I've done something right, because I love egg sandwiches, excuse me, and this morning, I got an egg sandwich, and I thought, this is going to be a good day, and so I got brave on the way down here. We talk about this, that, and the other thing. And so I thought, I'll ask her. I said, so when you made me my egg sandwich for breakfast this morning, was it because I was so special and such a great husband, and you just did it because you loved me? You're close. And I thought, you know, is it because, you know, you're not treating me just as the caretaker, as the groundskeeper. You're treating me as a, you know, the special husband that I am. Humble, too, of course. And she said, no. She said, there was grease in the pan from yesterday, and I needed to use it up. So I'm depressed. And, Pastor, if you have an opening for marriage counseling, I could use it. Just kidding. I have the most wonderful wife in the world, and that's why I pick on her. But last Sunday we talked about Mark from the Bible, and of course, noticed that Mark, we called it the second chance, that as he came back from the missionary journey and Apostle Paul was disappointed in him, later on, he turned out to be a good Christian and accomplished much for the Lord, wrote the book of Mark. And as I thought about that, I thought, in the Bible, we are given the admonition to use examples in the Bible to our advantage. My daddy always said that everyone's good for something, even if it is a bad example. So sometimes there are bad examples that we should learn from and avoid. And that's what we read as our opening text this morning, that the Old Testament, the children of Israel in the Old Testament were examples for us. And it listed a whole bunch of things that they did wrong. And then it says, now these all happened for them for an example that are written for our admonition. And so many times in the Bible, there are illustrations given from people's lives. And I like that about the Bible, where we know that there isn't anyone that's perfect. And so even the Bible characters had flaws. Can you mention some of them? If I mention names, I'll bet you can think of some. How about Adam and Eve? Good people, but what do we remember? They brought sin into the world. Yeah. Achan? Yeah, he stole. Yeah. Moses, great man of God, and yet anger. Yeah. Meek a man as he was. Abraham, great man of faith, but lied about his wife. Decided to have a child that God promised in another way than what God intended. Yeah. David, great man of God, after the heart of God, and yet. Yeah. Judas, of course, I can't. Not sure I can say anything too good about Judas, but he was one of the followers of the Lord, remember. Fake, but, and then of course Mark, we talked about Peter, Paul, we could go on and on. But there are examples for us, good and bad. And it is healthy for us, although we may study doctrine, and that's important that we have a foundation for our lives, sometimes to see it lived is helpful. In fact, God gave us doctrine. But at a point in time, he sent a live human being into the world, his own son, to take on a body and to provide salvation and to show us as an example, Philippians says, as an example for us to pattern our lives after. And so examples are so important. And so it's so important for us to look at him. And one of the one I want to look at today is Luke. Luke, I call him the friend, doctor, and historian, simply because he was all of those things. And we want to look at many of those things. And so I believe Luke provides a fine example for us to follow. Therefore, we too should use our lives, as Luke did, our life and resources for serving God. Luke wrote in his word that, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all of these things should be added unto him, unto you. indicating to us that we ought to put the Lord first in all we do. I read somewhere the other day, it says, well, if I forget it now, it just came to my mind. It said, many people are here on earth and have a life to live, but better yet to have lived that life, to actually have done something with our lives, not just gone through life and say I've lived my life, but that I've actually done something with my life. And certainly for the Lord, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. The truth about Luke is, and then we have less in the Bible about Luke than of any of the other Bible writers. And so I really had to look up every one and think about every time he was mentioned so that I could get kind of a picture of his life. And incomplete as it is, one of the times that... One of the interesting facts about the book of Acts, which Luke wrote, the book of Luke and also the book of Acts, but one, in the book of Acts, he never mentioned his name. And yet there's several what we call we passages where all of a sudden he'll be writing and says, they went there, they did this, they did that, and all of a sudden it says, and we did this. Now all of a sudden, Luke is with that missionary trip with the Apostle Paul and moving along. But isn't it interesting that one of the times that he was with the Apostle Paul was when he got shipwrecked. That's a we passage as we look at it. It's one of the times that Luke was with Paul as he went through that shipwreck experience. And so I had to think about that for a moment. I don't know about you. I was thinking, Luke must have really liked adventure. I mean, he was a doctor and a professional man. He was a good Greek scholar. He was a Gentile, and so he knew Greek well. In fact, the book is some of the finest Greek in the Bible for language sake. He was a par excellent student of the language and of the culture of Greek, and so he knew it well. But it is interesting, I was trying to think, did Luke like adventure? I mean, if Luke was the kind of guy that said, yeah, boy, just give me some really challenge, boy, and I'm there, you know. That would be great, because then he used what God had prepared him for to use it for the Lord, to go with Paul on this tough trip and ended up shipwrecked. I mean, if Luke was that kind of a person, he would say, boy, that was exciting. I don't know, that maybe was, and that was a good example for us, that maybe God can use what we like and what we have trained for and what we have built up stamina for, and we use it for the Lord. That's great. Maybe to go on a missions trip and to be in a different culture or go through an experience, a tough experience. Yesterday, Pastor Man Warren and I went out knocking on doors, calling. It's one of the things that I enjoy. And you'd say, you're crazy. I know. It's because that's what I grew up on. And that type of outreach isn't always as effective anymore as it used to be. Years ago, it was much more effective than it is today. Today, they'll open the door with a chain on it cracked about this far, and you have to talk through a crack in the door just for safety's sake. Sometimes, though, you get into conversation. But anyway, Lou and I went out, and I was thinking, you know, we're out here, and we're enjoying ourselves and getting to talk to people about the Lord, and met some Christians and met some other folks that may not have been. But to us, that was exciting. That was out on the front lines, talking to people, meeting people that we didn't know, and not everybody likes that. Not everybody's trained or prepared for that. That's just not in their personality. So I don't know if Luke was adventurous type, and he was this would look forward. But suppose he wasn't. Suppose he was, and we're speculating. Suppose he wasn't that kind of a guy. That he liked everything meticulous and in order and safe, so to speak. There are those kinds of people that never. They don't want to venture out into anything new. They like that safety. They want everything planned well and know exactly what's going to happen. And when things don't go right, they go berserk. I'm sorry. Is that a word? Anyway, I don't know which he was. If he enjoyed that and he used his ability and said, this I can help be a help with, great. If he wasn't, that also is a challenge to us to say, you know what, sometimes we can need to stretch ourselves and say, this is uncomfortable perhaps. It's not an area I feel real comfortable, but I know the Lord, I know it's a job needs to be done, and I'm going to step up to the plate and stretch my faith a little. Either way, I think it was important to notice that Luke used whatever he had for the Lord in that way. And so I think it's a challenge to us to say, are we utilizing maybe what say, you know what, this is what I love to do. You love babies, ladies, nursery's your thing. I'm not, that's not my place. God, I hear people are foster parents, and I say, God bless you. I almost killed the kids that God gave us. I said, I wouldn't take any in that weren't born in our home. We tried to be good, don't get me wrong, we tried to be good parents, but that's not my area. Anyway, and so I think in our church work and in the Lord's work, if you fit, you say, this I like to do, use it for the Lord somewhere. But maybe you say, you know what, that's not my comfortable, but there's a great need there. Maybe stretch your faith a little and step out and say, I'll do it because it needs to be done. Who knows? God may, you may find that that's a niche that you do fit. But do what Luke did here. Either way, he served the Lord in a very unique situation. Secondly, not only using our lives and resources for the Lord, but be concerned about establishing young believers in the faith. Luke had a great concern that young Christians, whether this was a man that he led to the Lord or whether somebody else had led him to the Lord, either way, Luke found Theophilus and a young believer and said, I need to help establish this young man in his faith. Turn to the book of Acts, if you would. And Acts chapter 1, or Luke, let's go to Luke first. Luke chapter 1. And Luke is the gospel writer who, the only one that explains why he wrote this book. In chapter 1 it says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us from the beginning, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So Luke said, I'm setting all of this down. I'm researching it. I'm talking to people who are eyewitnesses to the life of the Lord. I'm researching it. I talked to people. And I believe that Mark was probably the first gospel written. And so he used, I forget what percentage of Mark is included in the book of Luke. But he wrote this for the very purpose to Theophilus, who was a young Christian, that he might be established in the faith. He said that you might know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And then in the first verse of the book of Acts, he again says, I'm writing this to you, Theophilus. So he writes the book of Luke, the life of Christ, and then he writes the Acts of the Apostles to this same person to establish them in his faith. Which tells me that Luke had relationships with people and he considered those relationships from the Lord. It's a challenge to me to say who the people I meet, where I go, who I talk to, who becomes in my world of friends. I ought to be deeply concerned about where they're at spiritually and doing everything in my power to promote their faith and to encourage them in their faith. Luke did a lot of research. Now, I understand Luke probably understood that he was going to have a wider audience for his letter than just Theophilus. But it is interesting that he set this all down and addressed it so carefully to Theophilus. It says, most excellent Theophilus, which tells me that this may have been a very professional person, may have been an important person in their day. And Luke was a professional. He was a doctor. And so it's interesting, which leads me to my next thought, is not only we ought to be using our lives and resources to serve God, but we ought to be concerned about establishing young believers in the faith, but we also, it's not wrong to have a targeted group of people we're trying to reach. I understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we ought to reach these people and no one else. That's not it. The Apostle Paul wrote, he says, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul even said, I'd like to give up my faith and my seat in heaven if the Jewish people could be saved. It wasn't possible, of course, but he is so burdened for the Jews. It seems like Luke, being a Gentile, had a great burden for the Gentile people. In fact, his book, above all other books, are written to the Gentile people, less Jewish stuff in it. I wrote down a bunch of things that indicate that the book was written to Gentiles. Luke frequently explains Jewish localities and a little bit about the area. He wouldn't have had to do that to Jews. If he was writing to Jewish people, they knew. But if he's writing to Gentile people, that explanation is helpful. He also traced Jesus' genealogy. Matthew traces a genealogy from, I believe it's, is it from Abraham up to Christ? Luke takes the genealogy all the way back to Adam. And it's interesting that if he's writing to a wider audience who wouldn't look as Abraham as their father, per se, he wanted to prove that Jesus was a father of everybody. And the genealogy came from Adam, and Christ was in that lineage as well. Indicating this to give us a hint that he was targeting for Jewish people. He used he referred to Roman emperors in designating the Jesus birth. In the days of Caesar Augustus, all went to be taxed. So he's using Gentile time markers, so to speak, that they could easily identify. I could go on and on. If you look through the book of Luke, you're going to find out much more so, less prophecy, less fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy in the book of Luke, all indicating that he was focused on people that he knew and understood and could reach, which just hints to me to say, you know what, there are people that you can reach that they wouldn't listen to me just because your background, your position in life, your work, they may listen to you much better than listen to me. I tell folks, sometimes people will ask me, they say, Pastor, would you go visit my relative in the hospital? They're not saved, and I so badly want them to get saved. And I have, in the back of my mind, I have to be careful that I'm not sarcastic, because I will go visit their relative. But my question is always, have you visited them? Have you shared your testimony with them of salvation? I said, I will go and support that, and I will go and encourage that, but they're your relative. It's your salvation testimony that they need to hear. They don't know me. And if you sick the preacher on them, it's likely not to turn out very good. And so I say, number one, make sure you visited them. Make sure you talk to them about spiritual things so that this is not a surprise. And then ask them permission for your preacher to come see them. I'm off on a much better foot if they've given permission for me to come. Because you can reach certain people. It is funny. And what ticks me off is I'll go visit when I was the outreach pastor. I shouldn't say ticks me off, but it was kind of an irritant. I would go follow up on somebody, a visitor to the church, and I would explain all the church ministries and try to relate to them, but they didn't listen. It just didn't work. Then Pastor Burgreif, our senior pastor, would go visit them, and they would get saved. And I would think, why didn't they listen to me? Gospel was the same. But sometimes there are people that you can reach easier and better. The tables are turned with Pastor Burgreif and me. I come from Mennonite background. So when somebody comes in with a plain suit and a prayer veiling, that doesn't shock me, or it's natural to me. I grew up, my wedding pictures, I have a plain suit on and my wife has a prayer veiling on. So those folks, I can easily talk to them. You and I have people that we relate to better, just like Luke did. And to say, you know what, they're going to be the easiest ones that I can reach. Remember when Jesus sent out the 70? 70 or the 12, I can't remember. He said, go to the house of Israel. And he focused on the easiest target for them to say, so they wouldn't be discouraged. He says, go to your Jewish brethren first. And so I think it's important for us to say, where's your targeted audience? What fishing pond, if I can use that term, do you want to fish in? Where's your favorite fishing hole? Where do you see yourself fit in to say the group of people that I relate to best? Is it your neighbors? Is it your coworkers? You have in common the workplace. You have the neighborhood, which is common. I would focus on saying who in my realm is my easiest target to be a good witness to. You say, I'm a laborer. I work 9 to 5. That's okay. You may relate to those people better than you trying to win professional people to the Lord. That's not impossible, but it's just the relational aspect. Relationships are so important in life because building a relationship means that there's a trust factor there. And that trust factor has to be there for someone to trust you with sharing the gospel with them. And so all I'm saying is Luke had that idea. He wanted to reach his own people. Theophilus was a Gentile, and his audience was a Gentile. He comes from Gentile back. We don't know when he got saved. We really don't. So little is known about Luke, but he evidently joined Paul on his second missionary journey. So in all likelihood, Paul may have preached in his home city, and he got saved, and really got saved, and really got burdened to do something for the Lord, and ended up joining Paul at times on his second missionary trip. That seems to be the likely scenario that I've come up with as I've tried to put all the passages together. He joined Paul at different times when he could. It didn't go with him for the whole trip. The we passages show that he was there at times and he wasn't there, then he was there at times, wasn't there. It wasn't because, like Mark, where he deserted them, but he was just there. Isn't it? I think it's interesting that Paul had some health problems, didn't he? Isn't it interesting that Dr. Luke was along on the missions trip at times? I don't know. We're not told why he went there and why he wasn't there at other times. Did Paul have some issues, health issues that popped up, and Luke, the physician, went there to be of service for him? By the way, there's another time that's interesting I read, and I'm not sure. Again, I don't want to speculate too much, but do you remember when they were shipwrecked on the island, and they all made it on boards and so forth to the island? Something else popped in my mind. Luke was taking notes all the time. Because on these missions trip, because he's unless he had a unless he had a phenomenal mind that could remember all these details. It seemed like he journaled as they took the trip and then, of course, researched and found out what was where when he wasn't along. But isn't it interesting, when they were shipwrecked on that and they all made it to the island, do you remember what happened when they built a fire to warm up? Yeah, an ugly snake came out and bit Paul. And of course, the towns, because they were all, what were they? All the people in the boat were prisoners. And so the island people thought, oh, sure, this is a criminal that should die, and that's why the gods sent the snake and it's going to kill him anyway. But he didn't die, of course. And then they celebrated them as gods. And then it says that a lot of the townspeople came. I believe he healed, was it the mayor or something of the town? And then a bunch of townspeople came, and it says they were healed. It may not have been miraculous healing for the townspeople. We don't know. It could be. Could be that God did a miracle to all of them. Could it be that Luke, Dr. Luke, was a big help in just doing what he normally does with the people from the island? I don't know. It does say that it says they honored us. Not just Paul, but they honored the whole team, which is anyway. I just think that it having a group of people that we understand and that we can relate to is important for us if we're going to reach people with the gospel. We ought to do everything in our power to find a fishing hole, to find a place that we feel comfortable in trying to reach somebody. Whether you have a neighborhood party and you say, I'm going to try and target my neighbors, whether you say, I'm going to try and find a coworker that I relate to well, and I'm going to start praying for them, and I'm going to start inroads into them, building a friendship, a relationship that I can use as a springboard to share the gospel. Each of us needs to find an area that we fit and that we can be used of God, as Luke was. But lastly, I think today that looking at Luke's life, not only did he use his life and resources to serve God, he was concerned about reestablishing young believers in their faith. He had a targeted group that he tried to focus on that he could relate to and with the goal of sharing the gospel with. But he developed a pleasant personality. He was faithful, friend, and humble. I met somebody a while back who, they were a nice person, but they were coarse. You've probably heard the term a bull in a china closet. That's what they were. If you were in a group of people, they would always say something coarse. They would end up in the conversation just being a bit on the obnoxious side. And they would excuse that by saying, you have to understand, that's the way I was born. And so you're going to have to accept me for the way I am. And in the back of my mind, I wanted to scream, no. People can change. You can become what God wants you to. Allow God to change you. Now, some people it's easier. We say, oh, that person's an extrovert. They just love meeting new people, and they're pleasant and outgoing. I'm not that way. I'm a loner. I would rather sit in a corner and read a book by myself. We're all different. That means for the extrovert, that comes easy. Being gracious and kind and understanding comes easy. But that doesn't mean that they just let it go. That means they work on it. But if you say, well, I'm shy. Can I let you in on a little secret? I think last time, did I say I was a runt of the litter? I was a shy kid. Still am, but yeah, right. You would say, because I'm up in front of you and talking. Scared to death, but I'm up here. But the truth is I was in the shop, grew up as a mechanic. I worked in the shop. My dad owned the shop, and he dealt with the customers and told me what to do, and I was back in the shop as a mechanic, and I enjoyed back there. I didn't have to deal with anybody. I was alone. I got my hands greasy, and I learned mechanics, and it was fun. I didn't have to deal with any customers. But my dad knew there was a weakness in my life. I think I told you this before. He knew there was a weakness in my life, and so he would go leave the shop and go get parts for someone. And guess what I had to do? Now, I had to man the parts counter up front. And I would scream at my dad when he came back, and I said, "Don't ever do that." I said, "You stay there, I'll run for parts." He said, "It's my shop, and I'll do what I want to." And he knew that he had to force me to meet people and to talk to people, because that was a bad, I was no good at it. And I thank God for that looking back. Dad knew what was a weakness in my life, and God knows what's a weakness in each of our lives, and sometimes creates the opportunities, puts us in places where we'll stretch our faith a little and become the kind of people that he wants us to be. Luke was that kind of a person. I don't know what he was, but isn't it interesting that that the Apostle Paul in Colossians 4:14 said, "Our beloved Dr. Luke." You didn't get that beloved term from being a jerk. Got that term because he was a kind person. He was the kind of person you wanted to be around, and you enjoyed his company. He was gracious. He was forgiving. He was careful to do the right thing at the right time. And so I think that's a challenge to us, to say we may not be the kind of person yet that God wants us to be and that we ought to be. Don't excuse that by just saying that's the way I was born, and you have to accept me. God wants us to change and to become a friendly, kind person. Also, I noticed that in Philemon, verse 26, Paul says, he says, "Marcus Aristarchus," my wife helped me out pronounce it, and I'm blowing it. But anyway, "Demas and Lucas, my fellow laborers." These guys are all my fellow laborers, Paul says. He writes and says, these guys are with me and they're fellow laborers. Which tells me that he was a faithful laborer. He was considered there with Paul's faithful friends. He was there when Paul needed him. In fact, the next verse that I've listed on your sheet there, 2 Timothy 4:11, says, "Only Luke is with me." And the verse before that says that Demas hath forsaken me, which before he said was one of his fellow laborers. He says, now Demas has forsaken me. And he says, only Luke is with me now, which Luke turned out to be a faithful worker. Not only a friendly worker, but a faithful worker. And as I looked in the wee passages of Acts and in the book of Luke, he never mentions himself. Isn't it interesting, as they wrote, he could have easily said, "I joined the team." He didn't. You're just reading along and it says, chapter 16 of Acts. Acts chapter 16. And verse 6. It says, "Now when they had gone through a bunch of towns," it says, "and when they," so Luke is writing and says the team, the missionary team, is going here, going there, and then jump down to verse 10. "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we," no introduction, no explanation of why the change, but all of a sudden it's they went here, they went there. Now all of a sudden, we are going here and we are going there. And look at the next verse later on in verse 10, it says, "hath called us for preaching the gospel unto them." Verse 11, "therefore loosing from Troas, we came," 12, "we," down towards the end, "we were in that city abiding certain days." 13, on the Sabbath day, "we went." He just goes right on, never drawing attention to himself. And so I look at that and say, the tidbits we have of information about Luke, he was a humble guy. He never promoted himself in the book of Acts anywhere of being with a great missionary. That must have been tremendous to be there and to experience those things with one of the greatest missionaries ever. And yet he stays in the background. He does what's important. And that's a challenge to you and me, to say, Pastor Burgraff, our senior pastor, I always chuckle because during fellowships, during our luncheons and so forth at church, I'll see him carrying out the trash. And I think, he's the pastor of the church. Someone else should be doing that. But he's no different than anybody else. And he wants to make sure the congregation knows that we're servants. And our goal is to serve the congregation. Luke seems to be that kind of a guy, where he just says, you know what, whatever needs to be done, I'm going to try and do it. And my name doesn't need to be up there. I don't need everybody to pat me on the back. I just need to make sure I'm right with the Lord, and I have the relationship with the Lord, and I'm serving the Lord and his people and accomplishing what God wants. I think all of these things are important for us, examples for us to follow. One thing to teach, love one another. It's another thing to say, reach people with the gospel. But here we have a fine example. The little tidbits we know about Luke is a good example for us to follow. And I trust that if we asked ourselves the questions, what areas are you like Luke? Certainly, you have good points. We all do. But the big question is what areas are you and I not like Luke? Are there areas you say, well, I know doctrinally this is what I should be. And Luke set a good example. And I'm not there yet. Will we be honest with ourselves and say, I have some growing to do? Let's stop excusing it to say, well, that's the way God made me. I can't help it. That doesn't work. On judgment day, that won't be acceptable to God any more than it's acceptable on earth. So let's become all that God wants us to be. We have some fine examples in the Bible to challenge us and to move us on. One thing Luke did, though, is Luke became a believer, probably through the missionary preaching of the Apostle Paul. We don't know. We're not told. But he became a believer that actually changed his life. And he used what he could to serve the Lord. And I trust that if you're here today and you're not a believer, be like Luke. Become a believer. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. But then go on to serve and say, I can become in many ways like Luke. I may not be a doctor, but the principles in his life can apply to you and me. If we mention some folks like we did in the beginning, Samson. Good, bad. Daniel. Good. Noah. Good, bad. Esther. Depending on your perspective, marrying a pagan king may not be the right thing to do, but she did some good things too. Ahab. Not much there to brag about. Elijah. Good, bad. Yeah, some of both. Luke's a good example. And I trust we'll look at his life and say, a life that I can pattern my life after and to serve God. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the examples you've given us in the Bible. And you know, Lord, all of us are one step away from failure. Starting down a pathway. No, I don't believe anyone here today is going to step out tomorrow and get involved in adultery or drunkenness. But today or tomorrow could be the day that we take a step in the wrong direction. Take heed, you said, lest we fall, especially those who think that we're strong and that will never happen to us. Help us to be warned that we have these examples to warn us and to help us to do right. Help us to live a godly life, one that's pleasing to you, until you come. We pray in Jesus' name.